If you would turn to Matthew chapter 7, today's message follows in our series where we are studying, but today is more, you would call it more of a Bible study than a sermon, if you want to make a distinction between the two, because I want to just lead you through a number of passages of Scripture. I was really not hesitant, but you know, we believe the Lord is leading us in something doesn't mean that we don't ever struggle with it. And when I announced that I was going to preach three or four messages on the title, The Judgments of God and Man, I was just like, oh, Lord, you know, that already sounds like a turnoff. I pray that the last 2 weeks, as we've talked about God's perfect judgment, His perfect and right judgment, always motivated by His great love and His righteousness, pray that you've seen at least another side of the judgment of God. And I'm going to repeat only a few things this morning as we begin to look at the judgments of man. And by that, I don't mean God's judgment of man, but I mean when God calls man to judge, because there are righteous judgments that we are called to make. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But before we pray, I just wanted to introduce that and remind you of a couple of things. One is that God is always judging. Just by the very nature of what the word judgment means, and His heart and His mind, His omnipotence and His infinite being, there is nothing that comes before Him that isn't filtered through judgment. And see, as I began to talk about this, I want you to understand, sometimes we use the word judgment only in a narrow sense. But you don't live a single day of your life without making judgments. You make a judgment whether you're going to get in the car and come here in the morning, whether you think your car is safe or not. You judge, you come and visit this church the first time, and you make a judgment as to whether you think this is the place for you or not. If you got married, you made a judgment. You judged your spouse before she was or he was ever your spouse. You judged in order to decide, because judgment means choosing and discerning and gathering information and making a right choice. And so when I speak of judgment, it's not always the harsh reality of wrath or retribution. God is always filtering everything through His infinite mind. And there's not one thing that isn't judged. We hit upon the last 2 weeks the concept that judgment, according to the Bible, judgment must fall for every sin that's ever committed, no matter how small that we think it is. There is a responding judgment. But praise God for the great principle. Judgment either falls upon the sinner or a substitute. And God has always provided a substitute. And for us, who is that? The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin to look at when He calls us to judge. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And I thank You, Lord, for the great privilege, Lord God, of being here with Your beloved gathered together in assembly. Lord, You know that Your servant is weak. You know, Lord, that I lean upon You wholly in this hour. Lord, that any intellectual thing that I have concocted or studied, even my studying, falls short of, Lord, what only You can accomplish as You take living word. Lord, I could never achieve what You desire to achieve through the preaching of the word. God, You can take my feeble attempts, guard my mind and keep it on the right path and use my lips, Lord, and You can take an anointed word and You can plant it in the hearts of Your people that we might have wisdom and discernment and understanding in these times in which we're living, these perilous times. I pray, Lord, that You would be glorified. Hide me behind the cross. And Lord, may You receive all honor and glory for every good thing that comes out of this time that we've gathered today. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few years ago, if you were to take a poll, just a cross-section of society, and by that I'm including the world, the people in the world, those who are perhaps not in the church, and you were just wanting to recognize what is the most well-known Bible verse, or what is the most often quoted Bible verse, almost everyone, those in the church and out of the church, would say, a few years ago, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But if you take that same poll today and you ask a cross-section of society, what is the most quoted verse that is spoken today, not only by the church, but by the world, speaking especially of the world, it is found in Matthew chapter 7. Did I already ask you to turn there? Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. I don't know how many times you've been in a gathering of people, maybe in the workplace, or just maybe among friends and family, and you've made a statement that arises out of your own knowledge of the Word of God and the convictions that you have because you're a believer, and you make that statement, and someone, even though you may not have been directing it at them, how it offends people if you make any delineation of truth, if you bring up something, especially if it is a very clear Word of God truth, and especially if it's controversial in this day, no matter how much love is dripping from your mouth and your heart, someone gets offended, and what's the first thing they say? Who are you to judge? Didn't Jesus say, don't judge? You know, and if you don't know the Word of God, then you turn red and you just walk away. And I want you to understand when we finish this today, that, you know, if someone says that to me, now if you're being condemning of someone, that's a different story, and we'll touch on that. But if someone says that to me today and they say, Jesus said for you not to judge, I'll say, you don't know the Bible because Jesus commanded me to judge. And you say, well, what about this verse? Well, we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at the places in the Word of God that also tell us to judge. If you were standing in a group today and maybe the subject of homosexuality came up, and with no malice in your heart, you simply stated your opinion based upon the Word of God, the first thing someone would do would say, well, it's not your place to judge. You're standing in a group of people, or maybe you're involved in the church, and there's someone who's living together outside of marriage, and you make an opinion, you make a statement. The first thing that someone says is, oh, you're not supposed to judge. How dare you judge? Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. And you can just go through one thing after another, whether it's movies that you say that, you know, God has convicted me that's not appropriate for my life. And then people all automatically, well, who are you to judge me? Who are you to say this? You know, even though you weren't even directing it at them. And we find all kinds of situations like that in our lives. Let's read this beginning with verse 1 through verse 5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We know this passage of Scripture very well. I want to also say, as we springboard from this, we're going to come back to this. We're going to look at it, go somewhere else, come back to it. But I want to say that this is, I get tickled at myself sometimes because I say this is so important. And I realize some of you are saying, he says that in every sermon. This is so important. This is important in the time in which we're living, when 1,000 philosophies and ideas are bombarding you every day in order to take you away from the simple truths that are in God's Word. And you hear people, whether it's PBS on television or Oprah or whoever it may be, spouting things that sound spiritual and yet are total contradictions or taking the Word of God out of context. And if you don't study to show yourself approved, as the Bible says, then you can be easily led into deception and into error. So what does all this really mean? Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Now, more than any other sermon recently, I'm going to use a little more Scripture than usual, and we're going to turn to a number of different passages of Scripture. Before we do that, I've told you this many, many times, but for those who maybe are new to the Word of God, I want to give you just two very basic principles of Bible interpretation, of studying to show yourself approved. Number one is you cannot take a verse out of context. You can't take it out of context in order to make it say something that you want it to say, when if you read the verses before it and the verses after it, it clearly is speaking to something within a certain context. Secondly, you cannot build a doctrine or a teaching upon a single verse of Scripture. No matter how plainly the Bible seems to state something in one verse, You can't build a whole teaching and a doctrine without examining what we call the whole counsel of God. If I want to study the word judgment and judging, I must not just look at this verse. I must look at everything that the Bible has to say about judgment. Why? Because this is, though it is 66 different books, this is one unified whole. This is one unified whole. And the Bible doesn't truly contradict itself when we fully understand what we're studying. And so you can't take one verse that says, don't judge, and then say, you can't make any judgments about anything, when there are multiple scriptures that tell us that we must judge. And so when there is a verse or something that seems to, that doesn't fit in with what we're studying, the whole concept, we have to dig a little deeper and say, what is the context? And what do I need to understand in this? Because it does require study in order to understand the Word of God. So we're going to go to some different scriptures, but I want you to understand that principle. Now, we've read that verse. Now, I want you to look at verse 6, because this is Jesus still speaking. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Hold that thought for a minute. Look over at verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, Jesus has just said, judge not, lest you be judged, and it is in a certain context that we'll come back to. But he has said, judge not, and everybody jumps on that, judge not, who are you to judge me, and how can you judge? But then Jesus, we'll see it a lot more clearly than this, but just even in this same passage in which we're studying, he goes on and says, don't give that which is holy to dogs, and don't cast your pearls before swine. These are not popular Bible verses, but nevertheless, they're there. And he is not talking about literal dogs. And he is not talking about pigs, except in the sense that he's using it as a metaphor. In the case of the swine, he's saying, you don't give the deep pearls, the truths of God that you have learned as you have matured as a believer, you don't try to give them to an unbeliever who doesn't even care for them and is going to trample them underfoot. You lead that person to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You show them the love of God. But the things that you have learned in a lifetime following Christ that are understood through spiritual means, you can't take that and give it to somebody that doesn't care and is going to trample it underfoot. So Jesus is actually saying, though he doesn't use the word, he is saying you have to make a judgment in the people that you talk to, in the people that you are wanting to witness to and to get, pour your life into. Where are they with the Lord? Have they come to know the Lord at all? Or have they walked with the Lord for years? If they have, then you can give them deeper things that you've learned. But you can't give the deep things to those who don't even know God. Why? Because they cannot, first of all, as we've talked about before, they can't even comprehend them because they're spiritually discerned. And until you're born again, you don't have that equipment. The spiritual discernment. That's why you give somebody a Bible and they say, I can't read it, I can't understand a word of it. Well, they can't, except intellectually learning facts. They can't have their heart open to what God is truly saying in it until the Spirit of God does a work in their heart and they come to the Lord in surrender and give their life to Him. And so, He is right here saying, in other words, you're going to have to make some judgments here. But He's just said, don't judge, so that you won't be judged. This will all make sense in a few minutes. But Jesus would not be telling us how to recognize in verse 15 false prophets if we weren't called to make some kind of judgment, would He? How can you recognize a false prophet without making a judgment? You have to take the words that they speak and say, does it line up with the Word of God? And then you make a judgment based upon that. What Jesus will come back to this, but He is talking about a condemnation. It's not our place to condemn. It is our place to make a righteous judgment, as we will see that He commands us. So I want you to turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I want to give you, before we read this, I want to give you another example of when I was talking about when you're in a group of people. One of the things that I have just seen absolutely just so stark as an illustration of what I'm talking about, is that some of you have been in this situation. You go to a company party, you go to a Christmas party with your workplace, and you don't drink. And you're there, and everybody's drinking, but you're not drinking. You've not said a word to anybody, have you? You've not said, "What are you guys doing? Put up the alcohol." You've not said a word. In fact, you're not drinking, but you're walking around, you're talking to people, and you're making conversation, and you're just living by your convictions, and they're doing what they do naturally, and you're in that situation, and then somebody says, "Well, here, why don't you have some?" And say, "Well, I don't drink." You don't even have to say, "I'm a Christian." You just say, "I don't drink." I've seen this. I'm telling you, they come unglued. They almost go nuts. They may not do it physically, but I mean, they are like, they can't understand, and it offends them. They get offended that you're not drinking, even though you've not said a word of condemnation. You've just made an interior judgment by the Word of God as to what your convictions are with your life. And yet everybody then has to act different because you're not drinking. And so the thing that they will throw at you more quickly than anything else is, Jesus said, don't judge. So in John 7:24, we begin to have some clarification. Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. I've never heard anybody that said, Jesus said, don't judge, turn around and acknowledge that they knew this verse. They don't quote this one. Jesus said, judge with righteous judgment. The Greek word here is krino, which means to select, to determine, to make a judgment, to have a decision based upon the facts that are before you. It's closely related to the word discern. To be able to discern. God calls us to be able to discern. Now, we're going to come back to the Matthew 7 passage, but first I want to tell you how this teaching is going to be divided. It's going to be divided into two parts. We're going to see what we are forbidden to judge, and then we'll see what we're commanded to judge. There are judgments in the Word of God that are forbidden to us, and there are judgments in the Word of God that are commanded for us. You can't raise your children without making judgments. You can't decide who's going to come spend the night with your kids at your house without making judgments. You can't do anything. Everything you do every day, you are making judgments. Do you agree? You're having to discern and make a right judgment based upon the information that you have. But as soon as you say, this is what I believe based on the Word of God, someone will say, who are you to judge? You have no right to make a judgment because Jesus said, judge not. And in the same moment, they are judging. They are judging, and they live their days every day making judgments. So let's look at forbidden judgments. In this same passage of Scripture, Jesus says, do not judge according to appearance. Do not judge according to appearance. How many of you would agree that the outward appearance often deceives us? We don't judge by appearance. We don't judge by race. We don't judge by color. We don't judge by what seems to be even the facts on the surface. If we've not dug in order to find out if there's some truth behind it that we've missed, we don't make judgments based upon appearance. It's amazing to me that there are people who would be able to say, the Word of God says I'm not to be racist and I'm not to make judgments against other races, and they only select one race. You know, they have their pet race that they make judgments against and that they don't have any grace for or any love for. But then there's a whole multitude of other races that are fine to them. And so they make judgments about one certain color or one certain nationality or one certain background. We don't judge according to those things, according to the Word of God, because there is only one race. There is only one race. And so we were all made of one blood, the Bible says. So that's just an example. We don't make judgments based on outward looks or unsubstantiated suspicions. This will get us into trouble. How many times are we just suspicious of people? We just don't like them, you know? We make judgments based, we don't even know the person, but we make judgments that are not based upon any facts. The Bible says that judgments must be made upon substantiated evidence. Even in the Old Testament, no charge could be brought against anyone without two or three witnesses. You had to have two or three witnesses. And so, likewise, in our judgment, there needs to be substantiated evidence for the judgments that we make. I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Verses 1 through 3. Now this is Paul speaking. And again, just like the words that we read in Matthew 7, if we take them out of context and make them one law without seeing the context, we can't make any judgments. Paul says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself." Here's the context. "For you who judge, practice the same things. For you who judge, practice the same things. And do you think, but we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same," so you want to underline that, "and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" So there's a very clear context here, because Paul, he qualifies it by saying, "You're doing the same thing." Most likely Paul is responding to something that he has been told about in his letter to the Romans. He is responding to situations, and he's saying, you don't dare judge when you're doing the very same thing that you're making the judgment about. And so that brings me to a second area of judgment, which is forbidden to us. We may not judge someone for something that we are doing ourselves. The problem is we deceive ourselves, and often we don't think we're doing the same thing, but we actually are doing it in some other form. We're actually doing it maybe in some other way. Maybe we're judging them for being unkind, but we didn't see that we were truly unkind the day before in a totally different situation. And so we don't judge others, and we'll get to how this is done in a little bit, but we don't judge others in the things that we ourselves are guilty also of doing. We may not condemn someone. We're not to have a condemning attitude. We don't know the true state of someone's heart. And we don't come with anything other than love and compassion. In all that we're going to be looking at this morning of righteous judgments, it must come out of love. It must come out of compassion. It cannot come out of superiority or out of looking down at someone or thinking that you're better than someone or that somehow they're horrible. You know, it has to be out of a heart that is desiring their best. Their best. So we cannot condemn someone in our judgments. And we don't judge in matters of opinion that are not clear in Scripture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, I'm just going to briefly touch on this, verses 1 through 4. "Receive one who is weak in faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." Over doubtful things. There are things that are clear in the Word of God. There's enough that's clear in the Word of God that we need to be certain that we are right before the Lord before we ever speak to someone else. But then we have all those areas, things that are doubtful, things that the Word says that we have liberty in. And he is talking about that here in verse 2. "For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat." Paul is talking about dietary laws and dietary decisions. In other words, it's kind of like his discussion of what days you celebrate or don't celebrate. If you are in this church and maybe you don't celebrate Christmas, I may not agree with you, and I may think that it's perfectly fine and that we should celebrate Christmas, but I, believe it or not, I have no right to judge you in that, in what days you celebrate or don't celebrate. And likewise, if you're a vegetarian, I may think that you're missing out on the best, but I have no right to judge what you eat. That is your business. It is your conscience between you and God. And likewise, you have no right to judge what someone else eats. So there are things that are matters of opinion, matters of conscience before the Lord, that are between us and the Lord, and we don't judge those things. So those are areas that we don't interfere in. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. For those are all areas that we are not to judge. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Now we've already read this, but I want to read it again. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your own eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, if you remember, I already repeated this morning, but you remember the last 2 weeks, I've talked about the judgments of God. And I've talked about how God is always judging. And I've talked about the importance that we not see this as a negative thing, that we see that God doesn't judge in spite of His love. God judges because of His love. If He did not judge rightly, you would not have a good God that you have. So God makes righteous judgments. And the thing that I've tried to really bring us to the last 2 weeks is the necessity of allowing God to judge our hearts. We see it in the Word of God. If we would judge ourselves by the Word of God, if we would judge ourselves, then we would not need to be judged by someone else or even by the court of God, because we would fall into line with the things that are in the Word of God. And so we see that God's judgments do a work within us and they change us. And we are to let Him apply His Word to every area of our lives so that we might judge sin in ourselves. Now, I want you to keep your hand in this passage because I want to come back to it again in just a moment. But I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 through 32. First Corinthians 11, 31 through 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. And so this is in the context of the Lord's Supper. He has been talking about this being a time when we come to the table of the Lord. What a great time to let the Word of God judge us and to not fight the Lord, but to submit to the Lord. Say, Lord, whatever is not right in me, show me. See, this is the difference between the believer who wants to go all the way with God. Is that that person does not think that God's judgments are a horrible thing. They say, Lord, teach me. I love your Word. David said it in the Old Testament. I love your law. So many in the church today don't love the law of God. I can do anything I want because of grace. But the Bible says that we're to love the law of God and let the Word of God have its perfect work in our lives. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we're letting Him change us that we might be not only cleansed, but that He might be able to more fully use us and change our lives. And so He says here, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now, this is going to be real important in a second. When you go back to Matthew 7, if you turn back to Matthew 7, I want you to see how this fits in. In Matthew 7, which so many people quote when they say, don't judge lest you be judged. How dare you try to take the speck out of my eye when there's a plank in your own eye? Once again, do they ever quote the entire passage? No. Look what it says in verse 5. Hypocrite. There's an order here. First, remove the plank from your own eye. That's let the Word of God judge me, and I submit to it. Remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So am I never supposed to judge? Am I never even supposed to try to remove the speck from my brother's eye? No, if I love him. See, that is how our society is so confused. That if you speak truth in love, they think that somehow you're trampling on their self-will and their own ways. But the Word of God says that if we love, we will lovingly correct. Now that doesn't mean you run around out in the street telling everybody what they're doing right or wrong. And in fact, we'll see who it's for in just a moment. But it means there are times that we lovingly bring correction. I get so frustrated with parents that are like, you know, well, I want little Johnny. He needs to make that decision, you know, and even in the things of the Lord, not to teach them the things of the Lord as the Bible tells us to, because, you know, I'll let them, I don't want to force that on them. I'll let them make that decision when they get old enough. And the Bible says that we are to show them because the Word of God, it is supernatural. It changes our heart. And we plant it in them as a young at a young age. And then when they stray, they still have it planted within them. You know, it's God's timing, what He does with it. But we are to plant those things. There are times to correct. There are times with those that we love that we bring correction. And the Bible word for it is judgment. It is a type of judgment. We are to discern. We are to judge. Now, again, there are those areas that are forbidden, and there are those areas that are not forbidden. But He says, once you have let Me deal with the speck in your own eye, the log in your own eye, then you can see clearly. And so I want to take you back to just what I said last week and I said previously. If you're going to make a judgment here is the foundation. If you're going to judge, you must first submit your own heart to judgment. If you're going to judge someone else, you need to be sure that you're walking and you're letting God's Word judge you. And especially, this is what Jesus was talking about, especially in the area where you're being so quick to judge. You want to judge someone else for something that they're doing, you better be sure that you have first submitted to God's judgment, to His Word in that same area in your life, that you're not judging for something that you're guilty of yourself. Amen? I just want to be sure you're not asleep. So clearly, this passage that people quote so much does not teach that we're not to judge. It teaches a context in which we are not to judge. Not to judge someone for something that we're doing. So let's look at how and when we are commanded to judge. Remember John 7:24 said, judge with righteous judgments, not according to appearance, but with righteous judgments. Turn to Proverbs 17:15. Proverbs 17:15. This is an amazing scripture because there's something in it that we're often so guilty of in the church today. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Well, let's take the last one first, because we certainly would agree how horrible, what a horrible thing if we were to judge someone falsely and they're really just. That means they're right before God. And we pass a judgment and there's no mercy in our heart and we judge them. But they're really in their heart. They're not guilty before the Lord. We have judged by appearance or not known the facts fully. And so we have issued a judgment, but God says they're just. And He says this is an abomination to the Lord. But here's the one that we often, because of the softness in our life today, we do not do. He who justifies the wicked also is an abomination to the Lord. He who justifies the wicked, well, what does that mean? Exactly what we're talking about today. Listen closely. It means when you don't judge. You say, what are you talking about? If I justify the wicked, what does that mean? That means that when I see, say someone comes into the church. Now, you know, you've been here long enough. I'm not talking about someone comes through the church and they're not right with God. Well, praise God. This is where they're supposed to be. They're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to reach out to them. We're supposed to love them. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about instances in which we do not say anything when we know that there is something that's truly evil that's taking place. There's a lifestyle that's wrong before God, or there is sin that is evident, and people are perhaps coming and they're claiming to follow the Lord, but they're doing something that is very detrimental and very much in opposition to the Word of God, and we just pretend like it's all okay. Some of you deal with this all the time in your families. And it's a very, very hard place to be because in your family, you want to express unconditional love, but that does not mean unconditional silence. That doesn't mean that you never speak the truth in love. And so in your families, you have situations where something is truly, truly wrong. But there are people that are like, well, I don't want to judge them. I don't want to say anything. And so they will allow that in their own family. Never confront it. Never say a word about it. The Word of God says that is justifying the wicked. That is justifying the wicked. That is giving your approval by your silence. And so we allow things around us when God has made it very, very clear that we are supposed to lovingly take the truth. It's up to people what they do with it. But we are to lovingly bring correction and truth, and we don't do it. He says that it's an abomination, that it's wrong, that we, in doing that, we justify the wicked. How many, I think about, you know, the judgment of the Lord, and I think about people standing and saying, well, you saw me. You saw me. You never said a word to me. I thought that you were condoning it. I thought that I must be okay because you never said a word to me. And God has given you a gift of influence, no matter who you are in this room. Whichever one in here thinks that they're the lowest or that they have the least influence and that nobody pays any attention to them, every single one of you has a gift of influence and you influence people. Whether you say a word or don't say a word, your very life is an influence to people around you. God has entrusted that gift of influence. And He says, now, what will you do with it? Will you use that influence to point people to me? Will you use that influence to make those divisions of right and wrong and to declare what the Word of God says and to not be ashamed? To not be ashamed in a society that will blast you for it and will say that you're judgmental and will say that you're wrong. No matter how much love is in your heart. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 5. I'm not going to turn to, there are just tons of scriptures and we're not going to turn to all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Tons of scriptures that just balance out where Jesus says don't judge. And we have to read what He says in context. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13. You don't hear this much in the church. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would have to go out of the world. But now I've written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother, who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Whew. This is hard, Lord. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Why would I even go to this scripture? I want you to understand that Paul is clarifying something here for the Corinthians, where he has previously written them one thing, and apparently they've run with it and not understood what he was saying. Perhaps there were those of the church who were saying, well, I can't work with this person in the workplace anymore. I can't be around this family member because they're living in this lifestyle or whatever it may be. I can't even go near them. And Paul is saying, have you lost your mind? You can't avoid every immoral person in the world. He said, I'm not saying that you're not to keep company with those out in the world. Now, he's not talking about fellowship, and we'll make this clarification. But when you go to work, you can't help who you work near. And when you are in your family gatherings and there are those who are lost, you can't leave the world and not be around those who are living in ways that are displeasing to the Lord. Number one, the Lord says that is not where you're to find your fellowship. I've known people in the body of Christ that they came and they serve the Lord and they say they love the Lord, but then they would rather have as their fellowship their friends who are still living in immoral lifestyles. They feel more at home with them than they do with the people in the church. And I'm not talking about Sadducees and Pharisees in the church. I'm just talking about good folks that love the Lord. And they don't want to be around them. And it's because there's still something in their heart that's attached to the lifestyles and to the people that they're with outside of the church. But Paul is saying here something that you just don't even hardly ever hear. And it requires making a judgment. And sometimes people's feelings will be hurt. Am I saying that it's okay to hurt feelings? Not deliberately. But people will be offended. Jesus said the cross will offend them. People will be offended if you stand on the Word of God. And He said, I am talking about when you still are keeping company with those who call themselves believers, a brother or sister in the Lord who is living an immoral lifestyle, and like the last verse that we read, you're not bringing any clarity to it. You're not speaking any influence into their life. You're condoning it by your fellowship with them, and you don't say a word and you just keep hanging out. You are giving them approval for the things that you're doing. You need to make a righteous judgment. You need to make a righteous judgment. That is not where you're to keep company. That's what he is saying. You know, I've said this before, and it bears repeating. There are those in the world who don't know the Lord. We get so self-righteous. And we're just like, oh, how dare you use that language? And, oh, I'm talking about in the workplace and places outside of the church. And we're just so flabbergasted that they're doing what they're doing. And we forget what we were. And we forget that they're doing what comes naturally to those who have not been born again. They're doing what sinners do. That's what we naturally do if we're left to our own devices without the power of the risen Christ living within us to change our hearts that we might have victory over those things that we also are subject to just like them. And we do get judgmental, and we get so haughty, and we look down at them, and that's where we're supposed to love. That's where we're supposed to reach out and not be shocked by everything they do. We should be shocked. We should be shocked when someone walks into the church, lifts their hands in worship, or says, yes, I wear the name of Jesus Christ, but then lives like the devil all week long and says, well, it's all washed away. It's all under grace. Paul blasts that in the Word of God and says it's not licensed to sin. And so we need to speak the words of truth in the body of Christ. We correct. There is correction in the body of Christ. In the world, we do as the Lord leads. We reach out. We are not allowed to withhold judgment when there is something that is expressly evil. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time, but the book of Revelation, the church at Thyatira, Jesus writes a rebuke to the church. And he says, I have something against you because you tolerate this evil woman. Well, can I just ask you, if they do anything about her, don't they have to make a judgment? You can't make decisions or do anything that the Word says without making a righteous judgment. And he says, I have something against you because you keep tolerating this sin in your midst. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5. We're studying this on Wednesday nights. It's actually verse 15. The next time someone looks at you and says, how dare you judge? Maybe you want to quote this verse if you're walking closely with the Lord. Verse 15 says, he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. If we study the context, the no one is talking about people in the world who depend upon worldly wisdom rather than the wisdom that comes from God. So what is he saying? He who is spiritual judges all things. Let's go back to our principle. God is always judging all things. And we have the mind of Christ. Not perfectly, we fall short, but we have His Word. He who is spiritual does like God. He who is spiritual. How many of you know that if you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking with the Lord according to His Word, your heart is submitted to Him, you're not willfully walking in known sin. You have open relationship with the Lord. Everything you do throughout the day, it's the same principle that I just said about God. You're judging. If you're walking with the Lord all day long, you're making judgments. You're saying, this is right, this is wrong. Thank you, Lord, you showed me in your word. Lord, is this your will for me? Is this not your will for me? Lord, was that an evil thing? Lord, do I need to be careful and not fall into a trap with this person? Lord, what are you showing me in this area? All day long, if you're walking in the Spirit, you are making godly, righteous decisions and judgments based upon the Word of God that's been planted within you. And that's why Paul says here, he who is spiritual judges all things. Does not say condemns all things. Says judges all things. But he himself is rightly judged by no one, speaking of those he's previously been talking about, those in the world, because they don't have the equipment, the spiritual equipment. Not born again, not filled with the Spirit of God. They can't discern spiritual truths the same way that you can, and they can't judge you rightly because you're being judged by the Word of God. So whenever we are called to make a decision, whatever we're called to do, we are called to make righteous judgments based upon the Word of God, and we are to judge ourselves first before we issue judgments, no matter how loving or how kind they are. Judgment must never arise out of a sense of superiority, but rather with the attitude, there but for the grace of God go you and I. Amen? There but for the grace of God go you and I. Next week we will finish this with understanding when the church is called to judge. What are the judgments that the church is called to make? Let's stand. We're not going to have a closing song today. I just ask you to bow your hearts before the Lord. As always, if there's anyone who needs prayer, after I've closed in prayer, please come. Father, we thank you, Lord. God, this is not a comfortable subject. But your word commands us to make righteous judgments. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us, Lord God, to have a heart that's so submitted, broken by your cross, Lord God, and yielded to you, that we're not filled with self-will, but we desire to do your will. And God, that as we filter all of the things that we see and hear through our mind and our hearts, Lord God, that we would make righteous judgments based upon your word and your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would take your people from here today in peace. Lord, that every heart would be more surrendered to you and that you would be the center of every home. Keep each one safe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.